Unemployment is really hard work. When I became unemployed, I was confused because the usual stories around persistence and effort and things just working out didn't match my experience at all. Unemployed people are stereotyped as ne'er-do-wells, layabouts, good-for-nothings, or bludgers, but is that true? In this series, I'll be chatting with 5 unemployed and underemployed people about how they got there, what their lives look like day to day, and why the usual stereotypes don't explain much. So you're on 3CR Radical Radio, listening to Lives of the Unemployed, a show about what it's like to be unemployed. Today I'll be chatting with James Vivian, who is a person who has experienced repeated periods of unemployment and extensive periods of underemployment. Welcome to 3CR, James.
G'day. G'day, Antimony.
Let's start before the beginning. Can you tell me about your family's employment situation as you were growing up?
Yeah, I guess it's a little bit unusual because my parents are very active in the Christian community that they're in. Mm. very, very active. So when I was little, my mum was a stay-at-home mum and my dad was a qualified tradesperson and had his own business. Mm. And mum had a bit of a day job when I was about 12 or so. And because we were so active in the church community and there was a lot of nights, you know, working for things for the church, working life was sort of just to meet needs. A career was really heavily de-emphasized. Mm. And for me particularly, I was raised very much to grow up to be a wife, you know, cooking from the family from a young age and things like that. Rather than ever any discussion of what I might like to be or, you know, developing hobbies or skills outside of school. All of that was very minimized because it was about working for God and his aims on earth. I don't, yeah. You know, he's all powerful, but he needs us to do the labor, apparently.
Yeah. So how was work talked about?
It was just a necessity. So I knew a lot of window cleaners. people just did work that would meet their needs by and large.
Yeah, just something to pay the bills.
Yeah. Mm. So there was a lot of men who were like brothers in the congregation who were tradespeople. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of people who did a lot of labour jobs, cleaning and... Very few people, like young people who grew up in the church, were not encouraged in any way ever to go to university. Mm-hmm. Only a very few did. And if they did, it often wasn't for any, it wasn't like with a profession in mind. It was more like maybe a business degree to run their own business, maybe, but really not. Like, so it wasn't until I left. The church that I started to think about what I might want to do with my life. Mm. And, you know, what skills do I even have? I wasn't qualified. I loved reading. So my mum found me a traineeship with the local council that I applied for and magically got.
Oh, right.
And then from there, I transitioned into a part-time role. Mm-hmm. That was like, you know, a 3/4 of full-time mm-hmm. work. And I did that as well as my church service until about 24. Like, I eventually left that job so I could leave Brisbane and really get away from the church. Mm. And I kind of left before I left that job, but I couldn't, you know, they knew where I worked. There was no escaping, so.
Right.
it was a complicated situation. So... Since then, I've had periods of like working while going to uni, and because I didn't have family like financial support, that was a strain and quite difficult. And mm-hmm. so I was doing university part-time and trying to work part-time and, you know, still not really sure what I was particularly good at or what I really wanted to do.
Mm.
So I was trying to learn while doing the complicated business of living and working and going to school.
Mm.
I guess I just never made the connections I needed to make early enough.
So this is a period of like exploration for you where you were yes. working to survive, but you were also wanting to like explore your options and see like who you were and what you wanted as a person.
Exactly.
Mm.
Exactly. By the time I worked it out, it was a bit too late to start again.
You feel like that period of early adulthood is important for like making connections and getting the education that you need to have that sort of career?
People can start again at any point. I really believe that, and I've started again quite a few times in my life.
Hmm.
But there's something about you getting a chance in childhood to hmm. explore and play around and find out what you're good at, what it's like to work hard for something that is a goal that you have yourself that comes from within you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people don't necessarily get that kind of childhood, so it's not something I still think about as like, oh, woe is me.
Mm.
But it definitely is a factor. The later you get to know yourself,
mm-hmm.
I think the less chance you're gonna hit upon all the luck you need to find to really get. I feel like so much of life is around who you know and timing and the luck of all of that.
Yeah, and I guess like having adults who are like familiar with systems.
Yes. Yes.
Compared to like having to learn those systems like manually yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
As a young adult.
I knew exactly what to do to be, you know, a really active sister in the congregation I grew up in.
Mm.
And not a lot else.
Yeah, yeah.
I just knew that was what I didn't want
mm-hmm.
rather than knowing what I did.
Going back to what you said about getting to know yourself at an older age that a lot of people do, did you feel like you made decisions or choices that didn't really feel like choices at the time? That like led you in a particular direction but you didn't realise was happening?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so many. So, you know, I pretty much grew up working class. Like, we were in housing commission when we were really young and acutely aware of needing practical skills and that life costs money, nothing's a handout. So when I left, even though I was exploring, I was thinking about what work can I do? And I was really conscious of the environment, so I was studying environmental science and trying to find a path within that, but it wasn't where my strengths lie. By the time I figured out that I wasn't built for lab work, like mm-hmm. sustained, methodical, patient sort of research work, yeah. that was never going to be something I was good at.
You were already a few thousand dollars in debt.
Yes, and like becoming ill, like yeah. I developed illness, so that really affected that your capacity to work and go yeah. to uni and be ill is basically you need a safety net, and I'd run out of hex, so that was it for that, which was really annoying because I felt like
you had the one chance.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And then I tried a few years later to go back when I sort of had a much more concrete idea of what I wanted to do, and I just couldn't manage it, that balance. Like I just had less energy, I guess, coming off being ill and working and studying. It just wasn't sustainable.
So how did you find out what you wanted to do, and why was it too late?
It's a good question. It was a lot of trial and error. I did a bunch of short courses and skilling up and realized that I really, really love building things and I really, really love holistic sort of closed circuit design.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to do civil engineering, and then it just became apparent that I didn't have their time, energy and funds to make that happen.
Yeah, so you're a bit more, it was a bit later in life, you're a bit more established and you just couldn't take the time out of full-time work to be able to go back to study full-time.
Yeah, and I wasn't well. I think that's really the main thing. I just kind of eventually let it go as an attainable professional aspiration.
Yeah. So let's take a little break for the announcement of a community service and let's have a little song. And after that, we'll get into the rest of your working life. Would you like to announce this song that you've brought in by Cress?
Yes. I love this album by Jeffrey Lewis, 12 Cress Songs, because I think Cress lyrics are amazing, but when they're being yelled and they're so noisy, sometimes they get lost. And it's just him making everything very clear. It's beautiful.
Has Centrelink made a decision you disagree with? Most Centrelink decisions can be appealed up to 3 times. Examples of decisions you can appeal include whether you're eligible for a payment, cancellation or suspension of your payment, how much you get paid, and Centrelink debts. One of the most common Centrelink decisions appealed are Centrelink debts. Centrelink will say you owe a debt if the staff determine you've been paid more than you should have. Debts can occur for a variety of reasons. In some instances, if there's been an administrative error or if you have special circumstances, you may not have to repay that debt. The appeal process is free, but time limits can apply and will affect your entitlement to back payment. Social Security Rights Victoria is a specialist community legal centre providing Victorians free advice to help you understand your Centrelink issues and the appeal processes. You can contact Social Security Rights Victoria on 9481 0355 or online at ssrv.org.au. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
Politics, election, here's something I want to say about the state of the nation, the way it treats us today. At school they give you shit, drop you in the pit. You try and try and try to get out, but you can't because they fuck you about. Then you're a prime example of how they must not be. This is just a sample of what they've done to you and me. Do they owe us a living?
Of course they do, of course they do.
Do they owe us a living?
Of course they do, of course they do.
Do they owe us a living?
Of course they fucking do.
But they don't want me anymore because I threw it on the floor. They used to call me sweet thing, but I'm nobody's plaything. And now that I am different, they'd love to bust my head. They'd love to see me cop out, they'd love to see me dead. But do they owe us a living?
Of course they do, of course they do.
Do they owe us a living?
Of course they do, of course they do.
Do they owe us a living?
Of course they fucking do.
But the living that is owed to me, I'm never gonna get. They've buggered this whole world up to their necks in debt. They give you a lobotomy for something you ain't done. They'll make you an epitome of everything that's wrong. But do they owe us a living?
Of course they do, of course they do.
Do they owe us a living?
Of course they do, of course they do.
Do they owe us a living?
Of course they fucking do.
But they don't take any notice of what the public think. They're so hyped up with TV, they just don't wanna think. They'll use you as a target for demands and for advice. And when you don't wanna hear it, they'll say you're full of vice. But do they owe us a living?
Of course they do, of course they do.
Do they owe us a living?
Of course they do, of course they do.
Do they owe us a living?
Of course they fucking do.
And that was Do They Owe Us Living by Cress, and that was a cover by Jeffrey Lewis. You're listening to a short summer series called Lives of the Unemployed on Radical Radio 3CR. My guest is James Vivian. Let's get into the present day. So how did you get into your current situation?
I had a job.
Mm-hmm.
I was on track to secure a permanent full-time position.
Mm.
And I made a very small error in, I'd moved across roles within the organization from a customer focused role to a 3-month contract in admin, where I also had customer interactions, and I just misunderstood a protocol. And, unfortunately it, embarrassed a boss, who then pulled my offer of full-time employment. So that was a real bummer because I'd worked really hard since the time I started with that organisation and had been really trying to really secure full-time. Like when they took me on as casual, it was on the understanding that they would look at putting me into full-time positions.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like 3 years in.
Mm.
Then they moved me back into the old role and I didn't handle it very well. And then I was fired, which is the only time I've ever been fired. Mm-hmm. But it was hard to cope because I'd really tried with that job. And I have ADD, so that really means a lot when you really try.
Mm.
Then I threw myself into developing a business, which I was going to run a coffee events and arts based business, and it was all set to open literally the day I signed the papers. The first lockdowns were announced in Melbourne,
mm-hmm.
and I guess I just sort of fell apart. I couldn't think of a way of retooling the business to make money.
And you'd spent so long setting up this business.
Yeah. I'd really put a lot of work in. And I would have had to sort of come up with a way of making it viable very quickly. And I couldn't figure out how to make that work. So then there was a solid 2 years where I was completely unemployed and it was the pandemic and lockdown and... then I got a job through word of mouth that was just going to be like a stopgap job. And I guess my health just hasn't been well enough to, like, it's basically 0.5 of full time. It's not really enough to live independently. Feels like treading water, I guess.
Yeah. So has being like unemployed and underemployed changed how you see yourself?
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
My parents, even though they weren't career focused, worked very hard and were always working. And my mom trained just for herself, trained herself up in several skills on her own time. Like she would literally get up at 4 a.m. To do study before the rest of the family were awake. You know, I guess that whether it's working for the congregation or working for you know, yourself or your kids or whatever you're working for. I grew up with the idea that you're doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just assumed that by this age, I would be getting to the point in your career where you're starting to really see the fruits of your labor. Like you're not so much learning. You start to be someone who's like heading up projects or...
Mm. You're starting to be like a leader in your field.
Yeah, I really, it sounds a bit daft to talk about now because it just did not pan out that way. But, you know, like 15 years ago, I really envisioned that I would be doing work with like Engineers Without Borders or, you know, having a really active role where I'm contributing something concrete to the world because I wanted to do something concrete. And I guess it's kind of hard to reconcile those foundational ideas of yourself with what you find yourself doing and your my goals for what I'm able to achieve have sort of gotten smaller and smaller over time.
Yeah.
And that is a bit dispiriting.
So what are the other parts of unemployment or underemployment do you think are invisible to people who haven't experienced it?
I think it's just there's a lot of assumptions. My personal situation is kind of because I grew up in a highly structured situation, I had no idea that I had things like ADHD as a factor in my life. It was just all of a sudden you're just failing and you can't help but like really take that personally. Me and some friends, we sort of did the project of getting ourselves woodworking skills, and we had there was a whole chapter of my life around starting like a woodworking collective, and that kind of thing, you know, I came to realize requires energy, capital, and infrastructural support, mm-hmm. where if you're all in a position of being unemployed and you're trying to start in on an industry, you end up doing a bunch of invisible labor that sort of doesn't necessarily go anywhere because you've all got to actually live in the meantime.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about that a lot, about it's who you know and what resources you can happen to tap into.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes things work out and sometimes they just can't. There isn't the foundations necessary for something to really grow, despite whatever energy's been put into them. You know, I'm sure there's things that I've done wrong, but sometimes it feels like I'm being punished for that instead of having, like, the freedom to fail, you know.
Yeah, it means that a failure really sets you back.
Yeah, and I find it really funny, like, very successful capitalists always talk about success is failing over and over again until you succeed. But at some point,
you run out of money.
Yeah, you run out of doors and windows, you know, that can open. Like, there's just, sometimes there is ends of roads. I think around the assumptions, it's like you're a little bit assuming what people are assuming. Mm.
Well, you're judging yourself.
Yes, yeah. Because of internalized things around, you know, crappy things that are heard from the media and et cetera.
Yeah. Like, we all grew up listening to John Howard talk about doll bludgers.
Exactly, exactly. Like, the term doll bludgers is just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. I've never met someone who was long-term unemployed and just does nothing for no reason.
Yeah, or just didn't have an excellent reason for not being able to get a job for a long time.
Yeah, there's always reasons. Mm-hmm. And I think that it can happen to anybody for any reason that, you know, to get to success, you have to fail a lot, yada, yada. But sometimes people fail a lot for a really long time. And that's not really in their control. Like, the concept of what failing is really intense in our society, I think. And you've got people like the gurus out there being like, face your fear and, like, just keep going and, like, hustle, hustle, hustle.
Yeah, but those aren't the people that have $10 in their bank account.
Exactly, exactly. And not everyone can get to the top, and it kind of, it's really hard to turn off the part of your brain that senses what your own value is based on where you sit in the world and what you are perceived as contributing or whatnot.
Yeah, totally. Well, let's finish up with some advice to the listener. If someone else were to become unemployed, what advice would you give them? What would you want them to know?
It's just not a measure of your worth. And that there is, like, there's so many ways of connecting into community or exploring yourself. And, you know, I don't know. This feels really platitude-y.
Or is there something that you've done, like, during your times of unemployment that have helped you?
I'm trying very, 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 very hard to... just please edit out all of those varies. Oh, my God. I'm trying very hard to remember the amazing things that I love about people that have nothing to do with employment or success in careers or, like, projects. Because so much of that is tied up in, like, capital and things that we have no control in.
Yeah, totally. Judge people by their haircuts, not by their job titles.
Please no one judge me by my current haircut. I am growing it out. It is pure hell on earth.
You've been listening to Lives of the Unemployed on 3CR Radical Radio. Coming up next is The Black Block, and we'll let you go with another song, Work by Britney Spears.
Do you have a fine you're worried about? If you are struggling to pay a fine, there can be ways to help you deal with it. You may be able to get your fine lifted or reduced where you are experiencing difficult life circumstances, such as family violence, mental health challenges, disability, homelessness, or drug or alcohol dependency. If you have fines from not paying toll roads, you may also be able to get the fine waived if you're experiencing financial or other hardship. Speak to a community lawyer or financial counsellor to get advice on your options. You can find your local community centre on the Federation of Community Legal Centres website, fclc.org.au. You can find a financial counsellor by calling the National Debt Helpline on 1800 007 007. The Federation of Community Legal Centres is a 3CR supporter.
You wanna hot body, you wanna Bugatti, you wanna Maserati, you better work, bitch. You wanna Lamborghini, sip martinis, look hot in a bikini. You better work, bitch. You wanna live fancy, live in a big mansion, party in France. You better work, bitch. You better work, bitch. You better work, bitch. You better work, bitch.
You better work, bitch.